Pastor might have to take off his preacher clothes and put on his thug clothes. I don't know, but we are starting a new series in this Christmas season. Everybody that knows me knows that I love Christmas, but I hate preaching at Christmas time. It's like our Sunday school series, like I was telling our class. Everybody knows everything about these scriptures. You get these six scriptures and you just recycle them and you try to think of something fresh and new. And, it should be exciting regardless to us, amen? The fact that Jesus Christ was born as helpless babe to come into humanity to save us from our sins, that should make us be awestruck and excited regardless. But I realize you church folks get hard and callous and you've heard it so many times, you're like, tell us something we didn't know, Pastor, amen? But we look at peace on earth. I was thinking about what Jesus came to do. And he comes and brings us peace on earth. And so four parts of this series, this first week we're looking at how we have peace in life. How he brought peace in this temporal life that we currently live. The Romans had a mythical god named Janus, which is the root word for where we get our month January. And Janus was the god who presided over conflict, the beginning and end of conflict. He was their god of peace and war. And the gates of Rome at that time were named after him. They were actually called the Temple of Janus, even though it wasn't a temple. And those gates would remain open when Rome or the world was at war. But when the world was at peace, the Romans, who were the world power of the time, the gates would be closed as they saw no need for Janus to go forth into the world as the god of war for them. Caesar Augustus, the Caesar who was in charge and sent the decree that everybody should be taxed in the day of Jesus' birth, closed the gates three different times in his reign to signify the onset of peace. Interestingly enough, those gates had been open from 214 BC and were closed there in 214 BC after the death of Mark Antony and Cleopatra because the world was going to be at war. But Augustus came and shut those gates in 29 BC and 25 BC and 12 BC. It gets closer and closer to the ADs. And Jesus, we believe, to be born between 4 and 6 BC. And so God in his sovereignty sent forth his son during this Roman Pax Romana, this time of peace throughout the world, and literally in God's sovereignty, he truly brought peace to the earth. Now, I look this morning and I think about peace on earth and peace in our personal lives, and I would have to admit to you that life's not always peaceful, is it? That sometimes life is drama. Now, you hear me and you hear me well. At Assurance Baptist Church, we don't do drama at Christmas. We only do drama at Easter. Amen? So if you're drama, then I would just say to you, stop it, knock it off, and wait till Easter and join the choir or get into the drama and be one of those actors. But we look at our Bibles today, peace on earth, peace in life. Our major text for this series is found in Luke chapter 2. When you're able, or if you are able, would you stand with me? And for the reading and honoring of God's word in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, I appreciate the men who filled in for me last week as I was preaching at the Mount Orb Bible Baptist Church, the church where my wife got saved as a little girl and where my training pastor was trained and came up from there. And so it was great to be down there. We saw a few people come to Christ, and so we had a good time down there. And so thank you to Brother Brandon. I listened to his message online, and a phenomenal job. And then my son Xavier, our pastoral intern, preached Sunday night and did a great job. And so I really appreciate you men standing in and preaching the word of God with conviction and truth. We look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. The words appear on your screen. If you need a copy of Scripture, see me after church, and I've got a good Bible for you if you need one. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Keeping this watch, you see. Guarding is the word keeping. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory Amen. We see this in verse 14. I didn't put it on the screen on purpose because I want you to look in your physical copy. This is our key verse for the rest of this series, okay? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father God, we pray now that you would help us, Lord, guide us through this series. Lord, as we look at peace in life today, how can we have this peace in life? Lord, we ask now that you would help us, guide us, hide me behind your cross. Lord, should there be one in this room that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that when they walk out of this place today, that will no longer be the case. Father, we ask now your blessing upon this, upon our children's ministry, our nursery ministry. Lord, we pray that you be with us all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Number one, Jesus came and this peace on earth brings us peace of mind. Peace with mind. You know, when we say we have peace of mind, we are saying that that's a state in which your brain is calm or at ease or untroubled by worry. It's hard to get peace of mind, isn't it? It's hard to have a mind that's untroubled, or it's hard to have a mind that's completely at peace. It's hard to have a mind that's completely calm. But John 14, 27, Jesus says this to us, and we're going to have several verses here in rapid order, so stay with me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, speaking of anxiety and stress, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And in Isaiah 26 and 3, one of my favorite verses, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, when we have the Lord, he came not just to give us peace on earth and the things around us, but even peace of mind. That we have a calmness, a stillness, a understanding that he is perfect peace and he can grant us the peace that passeth all understanding. But sometimes we struggle with peace of mind, and there's a reason. It reminds me of the story of Susie and Timmy. Susie and Timmy are brother and sister, and Susie's 10, Timmy's 8, and every summer they spend about 2 weeks at their grandparents' house out on the farm. And their grandparents get their cousins, their other grandchildren, they all go and have a great time, and they all take turns doing chores during the week. Well, Timmy and Susie, they love being out in the country, and as 8-year-old boys do out in the country, Timmy has a little gun, and they're outside one day, and Timmy's aiming at something. He sees a target and he's like, I'm going to aim at this tree, but Timmy misses and he kills his grandmother's pet duck. And when he kills the pet duck, Timmy looks around and nobody sees it except for his sister Susie. Well, Susie didn't say nothing. She went on about her business. Well, that night after supper, Grandma said, well, everybody can get up and go play, but Susie, you're going to help me do the dishes. And Susie said, well, Grandma, I know that Timmy wants to help you do the dishes tonight. And she looked over at Timmy and she said, remember the duck. And so Timmy goes on and does the dishes. And a few days later, it's Susie's turn for chores again. And they're all sitting there at supper. And Grandpa says, okay, kids, everybody get into the van. We're going to go fishing today. And so we're excited about this. And Grandma says, wait. Everybody can go. But Susie, it's your turn to do chores. So you'll stay back and do chores with me. And Susie says, well, Grandma, I know for a fact that Timmy would love to help you with those chores today. She looked at Timmy and said, remember the duck. This went on for another week, and finally Timmy had had enough of this. He said, this is ridiculous. So he went to Grandma. He said, Grandma, I admit it. I accidentally shot and killed your pet duck. And Grandma said, I know, but I love you, and I already forgave you. See, I was standing at the window, and I saw you shoot my pet duck. I was just wondering how long you were going to let Susie keep you enslaved. You know, a lot of times, we let the devil keep us enslaved. or we allow sin and bondage, we allow our past, we allow how we grew up, we allow circumstances keep us enslaved. But Jesus came to bring your mind to a state of peace, to ease, that you no longer have to worry about those things or pacify sin, pacify the past. You can now be free, because whom the Son shall set free is free indeed. It's over. It's past. Stop letting Satan or the world keep you in bondage to sin. It's over, because God the Father is looking out the window. He knows everything you've ever done, and He's forgave you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. He can bring you peace of mind. You can be untroubled in life. But He also brings us peace with the Maker, number two. The birth of Jesus brought us peace with the Maker. The world is at war with God. Sinners are at great enmity with their Maker and with one another. Isaiah 9, 6, Jesus came to make peace. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's what his kingdom looks like. That's what he came in the kingdom of God to do, was to bring peace. But how does Jesus accomplish this? Well, he does this in letter A under number two. He does this by redeeming the world to God by his blood. He redeems the world to God the Father by his blood. Look at Romans 3:25. "Whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Next verse, Romans 5:1. "And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 5:9. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Jesus came and he was born to bring peace between God the Father and sinners. And he did that by his blood. But there's also this letter B that he does. B, he's by bringing sinners to peace with his Maker, by which the sinner now, here's our responsibility, ends the rebellion and submits to God, and thus that gives them the peace that passeth all understanding. When we accept that Jesus came to bring us peace and peace with the Maker, then we say, now because I have peace with the Maker, see, Timmy had peace with Grandma once he found out Grandma already knew that it was already paid for. She'd already forgiven him. So he didn't have to live under that. So you know what I bet Timmy did after that? I bet the rest of the story goes, Timmy probably didn't mind when he had to do his chores anymore, because he had been forgiven. He didn't have to do them. He had to do them a couple times under the bondage. But now that Grandma had forgiven him, he probably did it joyfully after that. Timmy probably went out and said, you know what? It's okay if Grandma wants me to sweep the floor or do this, because she's already forgiven me and I shot her duck. Now, you did much worse than shoot God the Father's duck. But he's already forgiven you because he loves you. And so when he says, now serve me, you reject and you stop rebelling against God and you start submitting to God joyfully. The Bible says it this way, 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. John continues on in 1 John chapter 2, and he says this, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the Christ," or Jesus Christ the righteous. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him," watch this, "if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." If you say that you believe God and that God has set you free, that you have peace with the Maker, but you don't actually ever act on that, you say you're a Christian, but you never act Christ-like, you say you're a Christian, but you never do anything in salvation, said works don't save you, but after your salvation, these good works come about you. He says, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." The way that we know that we're in the Lord is by the way we act after we're saved. And when we stop rebelling and when we have this belief and this submission, then we have peace with God. You know, when I was in the world, I didn't have peace with God even after I was saved, because I knew I was wrong. We call that conviction. But when I wanted to get right with God, and when I decide, and even now, when I'm not in a good attitude, when I'm not in the right mind, I feel guilty And I got to get back in right relationship with God. Anybody else raise a hallelujah? That's you too. I was talking to Brother Matt Backscheider last night at our college and career event. We had a good time, and he was talking about working a spectrum and knocking on doors, and we were talking about people knocking on the door up in Troy. Somebody knocked on our door at 10 o'clock at night, and I was like, look, it's way too late, bro. You got to get out of here. I don't care what you're selling, but don't knock on my door ever again at 10 o'clock at night. You're lucky you didn't get dealt with. You know what I mean? But anyway, but, you know, somebody comes, and when you're knocking, people kind of... Brother Matt said there was times where he would go knock on people's door, and somebody would go running out the back door. You know why? Because they thought it was the police. They thought the boys was coming to get them. They said, the jig is up. You know what I mean? Somebody came and they went flying out. They got warrants, man. But you know what? When somebody knocks on my door, it's never a thought to me that I need to run because I ain't done nothing wrong. If the police show up at my door, I'm be wondering what my neighbors did. I didn't do nothing. I was like, I'll be looking at my kids like, did y'all do something? It wasn't me. And I'm a snitch. If they did something, I'm like, he right upstairs. His birthday is this. And this is where he looked about this tall. He weighs about this much. And I said, I done taught him better than that. He want to listen. Go and take him off the jail, officer. Are you going to bond him out? No, sir. He can call his grandma. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just saying. You know, when God knocks at the door to call out your sin, Jesus came and gave you peace. And you don't have to feel guilty if you ain't done nothing wrong. Oh, man, I tell you what, Xavier, if I had a Bible reader, somebody would have got that. If God knocks at your door, at the door, sin lieth at the door, and if God the Father knocks at your door and you ain't done nothing wrong, you say, come on in, Lord, let's rejoice. But when you've done something wrong, you be hiding, don't you? You be running. You be have your head down. You don't want to see nobody. If you got a sin warrant, you tried to run out the back door, take it from Jonah, you can't outrun God. Your sin will seek you out. But God the Father sent the Son to make peace, to be the propitiation, the wrath settler. We have peace with the Maker through Jesus Christ. You know, I think about this mediator, Jesus Christ. And I think about my grandma, Washington in heaven. My mom has 7 other brothers and sisters, so 8 siblings. So I have, I don't even know, because some of my uncles and aunts had babies when I was an adult. And so I got like 27 first cousins on that side. But when I was young, there's 5 of us boys who are within 3 years of each other. So when I was 13, 14 years old, I had other boy cousins that were 12, 13, 14, 15. And we all hung out. We'd go to grandma's. And grandma, after 12, 13, 14 years, grandma was tired of us. She was done dealing with us. You know what I mean? And every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, Grandma, she was a great cook, and she'd be in that little kitchen cooking it up. And you know, we had this long hallway in Grandma's house that went down this way, and we'd set up long tables, and that's where the desserts went. So Grandma put in sweet potato pie and chocolate pie and pecan pie and pumpkin pie. Y'all can keep that. But all these other kind of pies, you know, out there, and cookies and all this other stuff. And so for 13, 14 years, all of us boys have been asking Grandma before everybody else eat, Grandma, can we have a cookie? Can we have a piece of pie? You know, we was little Grandma say, sure, boys, go in there and get you something. Don't tell, it's our little secret, you know. But as we got older, Grandma was tired of us, because by that time we done broke a few grandma's windows, we done tore up furniture, you know what I mean? Grandma wasn't fooling with us no more. So one of the greatest blessings, God sent us a gift. Now he's 30 now, but my little cousin DeMarco Trenton Washington was born. And we 13, 14 years old, and here comes DeMarco. And when he got to be 2, 3 years old, we say, DeMarco, come here. Come here, Marco. Go in there and ask Grandma if we can have a cookie. And Marco would go in there. Grandma, can we have some cookies? Grandma said, yes, baby, you can have some cookies. Go on. And we say, thank you, Grandma. Praise the Lord. Thank you, DeMarco. Good job. You know, sometimes DeMarco wasn't there, and we go in there, Grandma, can we get a cookie? Y'all, didn't I tell y'all boys stay out of this kitchen? I'm sorry, sorry. And then DeMarco showed up. DeMarco, go in there and ask Grandma if we can get a piece of that pie. Grandma, can we get you a piece of pie? Yeah, go, y'all go ahead, baby. Get you. You know what DeMarco was doing for us? He was settling the wrath of the maker of the food. We knew that we could use him because Grandma, she wasn't tired of him because he was still righteous. He was still young. He hadn't broke nothing at Grandma's house. He ain't tore nothing up. He ain't done nothing crazy at Grandma's house. He never took the sled up in the hills of Ripley and tried to slide all the way down and run through somebody's car. I'm not saying I was involved, but my cousins, I told you I'm a snitch. They did it. They did it. Now listen. Jesus Christ came to give us peace with the Maker. He says, anything you ask in my name of the Father, I'll do. You ask the Father for some of that cookie, some of that pumpkin pie, some of that pecan pie. He might not give it to you because you're a sinner. But if you say, Jesus, could you ask the Father for me? He said, go ahead and have you something, son. That's the peace Jesus brought with the Maker, isn't it? But then number three, he brings peace with men. I want you to major on this today. If somebody in our church family is not here today, or those serving in the nursery or in children's ministry, if they're not here, wherever this ends up on live stream, if they didn't hear nothing else, you tell them to fast forward to this part. Because God says peace, goodwill toward men. So he came to bring peace of mind, peace within yourself, but also peace with the Maker. But because of that, it should bring peace with men. There was a Korean boy during the Korean War conflict who was the house servant for some U.S. soldiers, and those U.S. soldiers teased him and tied his shoes together and locked him out of the house and gave him noogies and did the things that guys do to younger guys, and kind of a hazing. And one day they realized that he didn't really enjoy it, that he had had enough of it. And so they went to him and they apologized. They said, we're sorry for doing all these things. And that little boy said, it's okay. I'll stop spitting in your food now. Now watch. By doing good to people, we show that we are God's children. And forgiving people is a part of this. Now watch. I want you to stay with me. Laying aside our differences and loving one another is what God sent Jesus to diffuse. There's no more Greek or Jew in the gospel, amen? There's no more black or white or this or that. It's grace, it's righteous and wicked. In 1 John 4:19, the Bible says this, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath seen, not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now watch this. I don't make it a habit of quoting Buddhist monks, but one of the Dalai Lamas said this, and I thought it was good. Our prime purpose in life is to help others. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. Our prime purpose in life is to help others. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. Men are the objects of God's goodwill. And love is the recipe. But the major ingredient and the hardest to find inside of that love to have peace with men is forgiveness. You ever had a good recipe, but you don't have all the ingredients to make it? And you know, at Thanksgiving time it happens. If you go to certain stores at Thanksgiving time, they're out of potatoes, they're out of nutmeg, they're out of certain things that you might need in order to make something. And you've got the recipe, you know how to make it, but you don't have all the ingredients. When you get saved, you have the love of God in you, but sometimes we don't have all the ingredients, and forgiveness is the key ingredient in love. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, I'm going to give you some scripture to back it up in a moment. But because Jesus Christ, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But if there's no forgiveness in salvation, then we're all going to die and go to hell. But Jesus forgave us for our sins. An old lady was asked in a church one time, how do you know that you're saved? How do you believe this? And when you sin, how do you mess up? Doesn't the devil come and accuse you of that? And she says, yeah, the devil comes up to me. And when he says, oh, I know you did this and God's going to condemn you of your sin, I send him east. And they said, well, what do you do when he comes back? She says, I send him west, because God has cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. I just keep sending the devil back and forth, east and west, and he never gets a hold on me, praise God. Forgiveness is hard, but it's the key ingredient in love. Listen to me. If you've got somebody in your life, because really the forgiveness we're talking about here is forgiveness amongst the brethren. The world has to get it first. They have to get the Maker forgives them, right? They got to get peace with the Maker first. But once you have peace with the Maker, you got to be able to have peace with men. The Bible says where it's possible. There's some situations where it's going to be real hard. But all things are possible with God. Look at this, Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Who is the onus on? It's on you. It's not on the person that hurts you. It's not on the person that you've hurt. It's on you. If you're the one that's been hurt, if you're the hurter, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And look at Matthew 6, 12 through 15. You're going to know this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Holla if you hear me this morning. If you got somebody in your life, maybe they're in their church. Let's not act like people don't get hurt in church. I would never say that doesn't happen. People get hurt in church because guess what? I got news for you. You ready? This is going to be the biggest news break. It's running across the ticker at Assurance Baptist Church right now because you ain't perfect and neither am I. So I'm going to say some things sometimes that offend somebody, that makes somebody mad. I'm going to handle something wrong sometimes and people are going to be like, I can't believe the pastor. I ain't perfect. Never said I was. I'm going to make a mistake. But as long as you remember, you're going to make some mistakes too. We're all going to be okay, amen? As long as we all realize the church is the hospital for sinners and we all need it, then we're going to be okay. But I want you to catch this. You got somebody in your life, you got somebody amongst the brethren that you need to get right with, you go with them and you go to them and you ask them to forgive you. And if you want them to, you can't make them come to you and say they're sorry. You got to do what you can do to live peaceably with all men. Whatever lieth in you, with all the strength of God in you, you go to him. And even if you don't get the answer that you want, you got to forgive them if you want God to forgive you. According to the scriptures I just read, if I had a Bible reader, one or two, that's what it said, wasn't it? Can I don't have a good illustration, but Jesus has a great one. Could I ask you to turn in your Bible to Luke 15? You know the story, but I want to show you from a different perspective. The story of the prodigal son. You've heard it preached so many times and taught so many times, but I just want to show you something God showed me here recently as I keep reading through my Bible and as I keep on. God, you know, I read this story and heard it preached several times, but God showed me something different this time. Now, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version if you're not familiar or you kind of forgot, but there was a young man, Jewish family, who had a rich father, and he comes to his father and says, give me all of my portion, all of my inheritance. I want it today. Now, that was major law-breaking in Jewish tradition and law, because in order for you to get your dad's inheritance, now there's two sons here, but in order for you to get anything, that means your father has to be dead. And so it was unlawful for him to even ask for all of his inheritance before his father died, because basically what happens here in the law was, if you get your inheritance, then your father's now dead to you. He's like a dead man. So it was disrespectful, because what you're saying is, I'd rather have my dad's stuff than my dad. And so the father graciously gives to the son all that was his that he wanted to give. And the son goes out and lives righteously and sins. He goes down to the big city and lights and spends it all up and uses all of his money and here, there, and everywhere. And the son comes on hard times. He spent all that he had. This Jewish boy goes and he starts slopping with pigs and he's about to eat and he's feigned so hungry. He's just over there in the pig trough. And it was like the most disgusting thing for a Jewish boy to do. And finally, he kind of comes to his senses and he kind of gets this moment. He says, why am I doing this when my father, my daddy got a whole bunch of hired service, then they're eating better than me? He says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my father. And I could imagine it. I always think about it this way. He kind of says this prayer on his way back to his father. He's kind of reciting it to himself. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Father, I have sinned before heaven and against thee. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. And he goes on to say, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That's where we're at in the story. The son's going back. And a lot of times we call this the prodigal son. Some people say that this is about the older son. We're not going to get into that. But I just want to show you something. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, most people get that verse and all they see is the love of the Father, the compassion. But what you miss in this is that this is a Jewish family. The son has committed this crime, and the penalty for asking for your father's stuff before your father's dead was stoning. And so when you look back at that scripture there in verse 20, what you actually see is the father, he sees the son coming and he's filthy and dirty and he's been out living in the world and he sees him and he has this great compassion, but the son doesn't see the father yet. And the father takes off running and he has compassion. And when it says he fell on his neck and kissed him, Brother Xavier, come here real quick as your dad. Let me see you real quick. This is my son and he's not wayward and prodigal, but I see him. And what happens is the father, when that wording fell on his neck, it means this. The father did this. Why? Just in case somebody in the town was going to try to throw a stone, the father has the son protected. Thank you. And he kissed him. I got you. I ain't gonna let nobody harm you. I forgive you because you're my son. Now keep reading here. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And kind of like Timmy's grandma, he said, boy, I already knew you was gonna go out there and spend, I know you, I'm your daddy. But we ain't worried about that. He said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, I've heard this preached so many times, and God had to show me this in reading this again. And I want you to get this. Stay with me now. We're finished, but I want you to stay with me. There's three main characters in this story, right? Father, the prodigal son, and the older son, who we're not getting into today, who's mad. And most will say to you that the personage of God in this, the person who is God in this, most people will say to you that that's the father, right? That the father represents God in that situation. Isn't that what you have been taught and see? You see that the father represents God, that the prodigal represents wayward sinners, and that the older son represents bitter Pharisee-type legalistic sinners, but that the father had compassion. But I got news for you. The father doesn't represent God in this story. The father represents Christians. The father represents the brethren. That when someone does us a foul, that we don't just sit back and wait for them to come to us. When we see them coming, we run and we cover them, and we don't let things fester and get any worse. We cover them up and kiss them and say it's okay because you have compassion on them. The father doesn't represent God. The father represents Christians. But you know, there's another character in this that we always miss, and God had to give this to me. I like this. But Christ is represented in this. If you look in that verse, back in verse 20, you'll understand this. You'll understand this really clearly. There's a fatted calf in this story, isn't there? And it says, go and kill the fatted calf. And as soon as they kill the fatted calf, the party begins. Then he says, let us eat and be merry. Then it says, let us go out and have a good time, because now the fatted calf is dead. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. When Jesus Christ came to bring peace, he told Pontius Pilate, it's on this end that I was born, to come into the world that I might die for the sin. When Jesus came to bring peace to the world after he was killed, the perfect sacrificial lamb of God, then we could have a party, because he rose up the third day and because he died to pay for our sins, and we can stand up and confess, Lord, thank you. Now we can raise a hallelujah because the fatted calf has been killed. But the least we can do when realizing that someone had to die because of our transgressions is be like the Father and use that main ingredient, which is forgiveness, to prove our love. This morning I pray whether they're in your life, at your work, at your job, in your family, in this church, whatever it is, if there's one in your life that you need to get it right with, you need to get it settled with. Listen, God, you'll never have peace of mind until you got peace with men. Peace with the Maker has come through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're justified through that blood, but he didn't come to just make peace with you and the Maker. He came that peace with the Maker would allow you to have peace with men. Let your light shine before men. Do all these good works, right? That your Father in heaven might be glorified. Today, I pray that you would have peace of mind, peace of the Maker, and peace with men. Let's do business with the Lord today. You got an issue going on. Maybe they're not here. Maybe you need to call them or text them today. And remember, it lieth within you. It's not their responsibility. It's your responsibility. You call them today. You text them and say, I'm sorry. I'm going to run to you. And I'm going to hug your neck. And I'm going to kiss you. I'm going to protect you from any other stones being thrown at you, even by me or someone else. And today, fatted calf has been killed, and his name is Jesus Christ. So we can eat and drink and be merry together today because he's paid it all. Because he's come to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men in this very life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you today to do a work in us and through us. Lord, that we not be hurt, so hurt that we can't remember that we have the ability to have peace, the peace that passeth all understanding through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came to the earth to bring peace in us, to bring peace with his Father, and to bring peace with others. Lord, sometimes that peace, see where it says where it's possible, it's not talking about the brethren. It's saying sometimes it's impossible for us to have peace with lost people. Sometimes we're just not going to have peace with people who don't know our Father. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, with the same Holy Spirit in us, it's absolutely possible. How we get to that, oh Lord, you might have to do a lot of praying. You might have to do a lot of moving and shaking. There might be a lot of things. You might have to argue. You might have to fight somebody every once in a while to get that. And I don't mean physically. I just mean an argument in order to get that peace. I don't know. But I know it's possible because the Bible says it is. As the music begins to play today, I wonder if there's anyone here today that's fighting with the Lord. At enmity, at odds with God the Maker. They're not 100% sure. They don't have peace of mind that if they died today, they know they would go to heaven. Oh, they've been reading their Bible. They may have been going to church. They may even profess to be a Christian, but they have no clue. They have no assurance that right now, if God should require their soul, that they'll wake up in heaven with him. I wonder if he'd be honest enough today to cry out to a holy God and say, Lord, help me have peace with your Father today. Help me to have this peace that passeth all understanding, that I might have peace of mind, that I might have this peace on earth and goodwill towards men. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't have that peace. I don't know I'm saved. I don't know that if I died today, I'd wake up in heaven. Let me give you the words of the Bible. You don't got to take my word for it. You have God's word on it. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all made mistakes. If you've broken one commandment, you're a sinner. If you've lied one time, you're a liar. If you've stolen one time, you're a thief. If you've ever been jealous of anyone or anything, you're a coveter. By doing that one time, it would send you to the devil's hell. But God loves us so much that he sent the fatted calf in the form of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, whose name is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And he died on Calvary's cross, taking your sin and my sin upon his shoulders, and taking it to the cross. For God hath made him who knew no sin to to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So today, by your repentance and your belief, turning from self and sin and turning to the Savior of the world, saying, Lord, I need your forgiveness. You can't be saved without asking for forgiveness. You can be saved and know it today by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart the Lord Jesus and that God did raise him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. You can do this by fully believing in faith in your heart today, accepting it by calling upon his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And do it right here, right now. It's not about your baptism. It's not about what church you go to or denomination or religious things. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ personally. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's one today that would say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be saved and know it. I won't ask you to do anything but this morning. If you're here today, you say, that's me, Pastor. I'm not sure. I know I'm not. Would you just lift your eyes to me real quick? Anybody in the room like that, just lift their eyes to me that I might know. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not coming to your seat or asking any questions. Anybody like that in the room at all today, just raise their eyes to me. To my friends online or through radio ministry, whatever it might be. Could we offer you an opportunity to learn how to be closer with Jesus day by day, walking and talking with him? Through the salvation that only he can impart and the peace that he brings. Lord, I pray now you'd have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal. I pray that if there's folks in our church family, Lord, as we would receive the Lord's Supper tonight that need to get right, maybe they would grab each other, Lord. Maybe they would grab a hand. Maybe it's not them that are at odds, but maybe it's somebody else that they just need prayer. Maybe they would come and pray for the brethren today. Maybe there's something going on where they need to be forgiven or they need to forgive. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray we get it out and off today that the fatted calf, Jesus Christ, has already died to pay for that. And let us use the main ingredient of forgiveness for the greatest recipe, love. Let us do it wisely today in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal. Let's do business with the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join in singing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.